Mark chapter 14. Whenever Jesus went to a town or a place, he often or always took time to pray. He found a place where he could get away. Sometimes he would find himself in a house. Other times that he would make his way to a temple or a church to pray, or maybe just outside. He'd find a quiet place where he could pray. When he was in Jerusalem, his favorite place to pray was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He loved to go there to pray. Now, the garden was just outside of Jerusalem. You had to cross the Kidron Valley Bridge. And just at the other side of that bridge, a little ways off the road, was a garden. So it was close to the city, but far enough away that you could get away from the noise and the distractions and all those things that could interrupt his prayer, he got away from. He loved to go there. The day that Jesus was betrayed, he had supper with his disciples. Right after the supper, he again wanted to go and pray. So he got up from the table and they got out of Jerusalem and they walked across the Kidron Valley Bridge, and just off that they went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And this is tells part of that story. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. They went to the place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. Have you ever been to going through a difficult time when it actually felt painful? Physically painful, that you were distressed, that you feel the weight, that you were crying and that physically did not feel well because of the things you're going through. Have you ever had that experience while you're praying? Or going through that experience where you prayed and that where your prayers are all sudden mingled with tears and that you just feel the pressure and the weight of whatever is happening in your life. I don't know, maybe you have lost a loved one. Broken relationships, serious illness, or a tragic situation that you're going through. Jesus knew what it was. Or he knew that he was going to face rejection. Now, even as I was mentioning about broken relationships and loss of a loved one, I just remember even right now that the family, Ken and Michelle, who lost their child, Caden. And I think we should pray for them right now. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we remember not that long ago where young Caden was washed away in the floodwaters and still to this day, right now, they are looking for that young baby because they want to bring him home. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that you would be with that family, that you would help them, comfort and strengthen them, protect those who are searching. Lord, lead them to that young child so they may bring him home to mom and dad so they could say goodbye. Lord, help them, Lord Jesus. Be with them in Jesus' name. Hard to imagine how that family's feeling. Jesus knew what it was like, and he knew that he was going to face rejection. That all his friends were going to desert him. He knew that he was going to be mocked, he was going to be beaten, he was going to be whipped, he was going to be nailed to a cross until he died. The weight of that was so heavy upon him, the scripture says, Jesus said, "I feel so distressed, I feel like I'm going to die." Distressed to the point of death. He got to the garden. He got to the place he's going to pray, and it literally says he fell down, and he began to pray. I don't know if you've ever been in a point where you're feeling so heavy that you literally fall and begin to pray. That's what Jesus was happened to Jesus. The weight of it was so heavy that he fell down and prayed. It says in Matthew 14, verse 37, and when he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping, he said, Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Well, I mean, he found them sleeping. I guess that may have been a rhetorical question. He wasn't expecting an answer because he knew he was sleeping. Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Now, you ever thought of that? Why did Jesus pick on Peter? James and John were there too. Remember? He had the disciples come to the garden, and then he took Peter, James, and John, went a little further away, asked them to keep watch, and then he went a little further away and began to pray. He came back. Peter, James, and John were sleeping. He says, Peter! I don't know about you, but maybe if I was Peter, I'd say, hey, James and John are here too. They're sleeping. Maybe. He says, Peter. See, before they had went to the garden, Jesus had been telling the disciples and warning them that you're going to desert me, that you're going to fall away. And when Jesus said this to the disciples, this is Peter's response. In Matthew or Mark 14, verse 31. But Peter insisted empathetically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. So Peter has just said, full moments before, maybe an hour or so before, as Jesus was warning him, Jesus, I will never leave you. Even if I have to die with you, I will never leave you. And now Jesus is praying and he couldn't stay awake for an hour. Jesus is basically saying, if you can't stay awake for an hour, how are you going to die with me? It was a few years ago, Chris and I went on a vacation to Mexico. And it just so happens that Dave and Laura Lee were on vacation with us, or not with us, but in the same area, not that far away, actually, in a different resort. And so we decided that one day what we would do, we would meet together and spend the day, excuse me, walking around the town and looking around. So we had done that. We spent the day. It was kind of a hot day, and so we were looking forward to getting back and getting in some water and cool off. And so we decided to wrap it up day in mid-afternoon, and we're heading back to catch a bus back to our resorts. And just as we do, some guy in the corner, street corner stops us and said, listen, if you will listen to this presentation about this new hotel we built, we will give you $50 each. And so we asked him, is it a timeshare presentation? He said, oh, no, not timeshare. Many times I asked him that question. He says, all you have to do is sit there and listen for 2 hours, and you'll each get $50 U.S. And I'm like, okay, let's go back to the resort. Chris talked us in to going to this presentation. 5 minutes in, timeshare presentation. But we're sitting there, we're waiting, and about an hour and a half in, they start the hard sell, where they've told you all the wonderful things, and they toured us around all that stuff, and now they're starting the hard sell. They want us to sign on the bottom line. And so then they're putting their pressure on, and I'm sitting there stone-faced, and I just take a little peek over to see what Dave's reaction is. And so I take this little glance over to see what Dave is doing, and this is Dave. No word of a lie, he was just short of snoring. When the lady see me look at Dave, she looked at him too. She went, she couldn't believe it. He had fallen asleep during the presentation. End of the story. We didn't buy timeshare, and Chris made sure we got our $50. I tell you, up to that point, I had never seen anybody or heard of anybody falling asleep during a timeshare presentation. See, three times, the story goes that three times Jesus went away to pray, three times he came back and the disciples were sleeping, all three times. I don't know. Jesus came back and said, Peter, I don't know, maybe the next time I tried a little harder, stay awake. And certainly after the second time, you think by the third time, these guys would be doing whatever they could just to stay awake, throwing cold water on their face and jumping up and down and happing their hands, slapping their faces. I don't know, ever drive? Have you ever driven late and you feel really, really tired? Right? You roll your window down, turn your radio up. You're doing anything you can to stay awake. Ever slap yourself? Literally, I have slapped myself driving, trying to get blood back to my face to keep myself awake. I don't know. Chris looked up and looked at me, seen me slap myself. She thought, oh, you're crazy. She said, Paul, don't worry about that. I'll do it for you. Right? But three times, they had fallen asleep. I don't know. Have you, before we're too hard on the disciples, have you ever fallen asleep or nodded off when you're praying? I have. I'll get there if I'm kneeling or I'm sitting and praying or bowing. I feel tired or lethargic or I get distracted. So what I often do is I get up and I start walking. Get the blood flowing. Start to walk. And to this point, it's worked pretty good because I've never fallen asleep praying while I'm walking. If you feel tired, if you feel weak or you feel lazy and you don't really feel motivated to pray, I encourage you, in your prayers, begin to worship Jesus. Change what you're doing. Begin to worship Jesus and maybe start walking. Pray out loud. Often I find we get tired when we're praying quietly to ourselves. We start praying out loud. We're not going to be as tired. So pray out loud. Walk while you're praying. Write requests down. Read over those requests. Keep yourself focused as you're trying to pray. Write down what Jesus has been saying in your prayers. Write down answered prayers. Do things that keep you awake, keep you focused. You see, here, you have to understand the disciples at that moment. They had just finished a long day of ministry in the heat. It was a hot day. They had just come to the end of the day, and they were full from a really good, satisfying supper. And they went from there, after having a full day, a long day of work, a really, really good meal, and then they gone into the garden to pray. Kind of like men after supper, isn't it? If they don't keep moving, right? They crash. That's what's happened. See, Jesus had said to the disciples this, Mark 14, verse 38. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus got it. He understood what was going on. He understood that that what they were facing and how the struggle they had to stay awake. The spirit is willing. They really wanted to. They were really trying and they were doing everything. They were slapping themselves in the face. But they still fell asleep. Jesus understood. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. We have to fight against our bodies. I love what Paul says. He says, I beat my body into submission. I make it my slave. I don't give in to what my body wants to do. I make my body do what I want to do. And that's what we have to do in our life when it comes to prayer. You see? If you're distracted and you're falling asleep when you pray, don't beat yourself up for it. Oh, I can't pray. I don't really good. I'm terrible because I nodded off when I prayed. No, shake it off and keep trying. Do something different. Ask God to help you. I don't know. How long do you pray? You pray 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes? each day. I would encourage you, if you pray 10 minutes a day, let's make it 20. Work towards 20. If you pray 20 minutes a day, work towards 30. If you pray 30 minutes a day, work towards 40. Set a goal of how you want to pray more. Because I don't know, how much can you really cover in 10 minutes? I don't think you can cover a whole lot. But now let's remember, prayer is not just about how much time you spend, but how effective you are in that time that you're spending in prayer. So you could spend an hour in prayer, but just kind of go round and round and round in circles, not make sometimes anything, and it's not very effective. But you can spend half an hour in prayer and get a whole lot accomplished in what God wants to do. See, on Wednesdays, some things we do here. So anybody's welcome to be part of this. Wednesday, 11 o'clock till 12 o'clock, we meet here for prayer, open to everybody in the Broadway family. Actually, if you're not part of the Broadway family, any church person or any Christian, anybody can be part of that prayer. But what we do is we write requests down so that it keeps us focused. So when we're praying, we have needs and people and things that we are praying for. And we actually have prayers reports and praising God for when we're praying, thanking Him for things. If you have a difficult time in your prayer to staying focused, what can you do? What I think you can do is you can create a prayer path. What's a prayer path? Let me give you an example. It doesn't have to be this. This is just something that I've done before. Start your prayer with praising Jesus. Take the first couple minutes and just thank Him for as many things as you can think of. Now, it may be one of those weeks where you got a lot of stuff. It may take more than a few minutes. After that, pray for others. It doesn't take much to just think for a few minutes of all the needs that we're aware of around us. That's part of the prayer triplets. It's amazing how when you're praying together that you find out the other needs that people have in their life. And even on Sunday, we hear the journey that people were going through and maybe some of the struggles that they have and how we could pray for them. Pray for your own needs, things that are going on in your life and things that you happen. Maybe it's a financial miracle, an issue, a job or a relationship or something. Pray for your own needs. Pray for the church and the leaders. Hey, we'll take whatever prayer we can get. I'll tell you about this. This is the only time I think it's okay to be greedy. You can give me as much prayer as you want, and I'll take every one of them. In fact, I believe so much in that every morning I have prayer partners that meet with me at 9 o'clock till 9:30, and I ask them every day, every Sunday I ask this of them. Pray, lay hands on me and pray for me. Every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Because I really believe it's important. Praying for your own needs and what's going on. Pray for the church. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the government. Believe me, they need prayer. Right? If you don't think so, you're not watching the news. You're not listening to people talk. Right? They need prayer. They need God's wisdom. I believe God doesn't just direct Christians. As far as I can tell at the moment, our leadership in the government is not Christian. But I heard, when I read the Bible, that He moves the hearts of kings. And lots of times, if you read the stories, you can see the kings where He moved the heart. They had nothing to do with God. He took non-believing kings to bless and rebuild Jerusalem. Pray for our government, and then end your prayer in praise and thanksgiving again. End your prayer with worshiping Jesus. Thank Him. Now, I tell you, if you do that, you spend a couple minutes on each one of those, you got 20 minutes easy right there just doing that. So I encourage you, if you're having a hard time being distracted, write that little format down and then begin.